This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, June the 30th, as we are about to end the month of June. This month, the month of July that will start tomorrow, not only will players be reporting to spring training too, tomorrow, July 1st, workouts beginning on Friday. And then, of course, in about 23 or 24 days, we will have Major League Baseball action. Provided, of course, all things move ahead fluidly. I know there's a lot of factors, a lot of things to worry about. But right now, it's time to be excited about the prospect and the hope of baseball. I'm just pumped. You know, yesterday we went through the 53-man roster, players being added to it. He does expect to add a catcher. We're going to dive into it. And obviously, like I said, the rest of the week, a lot of stuff still to come. We're going to dive into what the lineup's going to look like, the roster in deeper detail. So much fun stuff. But today, it's just, again, to reiterate what I said yesterday, what I've been feeling, it's just so exciting to actually talk Phillies baseball instead of labor negotiations, so I'll keep saying that until it doesn't feel like such a gift anymore. But yesterday, we have to dive into today, very clearly, Matt Klentak yesterday at 2:15, speaking to reporters on a virtual conference call and weighing in on a lot of the issues surrounding the return to play for the Philadelphia Phillies, talking about the 53-man roster, the people being added to it, the potential for ads, and a whole host of other issues. The health of Andrew McCutchen, a lot of stuff. Let's dive in. Let's start with what turned out to be the biggest news from the day, certainly the biggest thing we've been talking about. We've talked a lot about the Phillies on the field and how that's going to work out and the roster, and we're going to get into all that, but certainly the biggest news from the Matt Klentak, and it's not even news, it's just quotes, but biggest story since last Friday when the roster freeze was lifted for Major League Baseball teams, meaning that teams could sign players, trade, all that type of stuff, the JT Realmuto situation. And we've talked bits about it over the course of this elongated offseason, but now we have a little more clarity as we come back. And that was one of the big things that was addressed yesterday. We'll dive into that, then we'll dive into the rest of stuff going on. So we talked last week, the Jim Salisbury report that came out last week saying that the Phillies were interested in signing Realmuto to a long-term deal. They understood that he wanted to be the highest-paid catcher, trying to exceed that $23 million a year mark, looking for a deal in the 4 to 5 to 6 year range. And when that came out, it felt to me, as I said, as that was would be foolish. As much as I have desperately wanted the Phillies to sign JT Realmuto to an extension, I've talked about it since they traded for him. I have thought that they should sign JT Realmuto to an extension. But the situation has changed. Very really, we all know that, like in a real way. And as I've talked about a lot too, I think that as a result of the way this labor negotiations played out, the way this season is going to play out from a money perspective for the league without fans, the loss of revenue, which we know they've whined and cried about and all that. I've said many times, and I believe to my core, that the people who, from the player side, who are going to take the largest brunt of pain from this whole situation, obviously, just strictly talking baseball money, not obviously people are affected in real life by stuff like this, are going to be the free agents this offseason, because there is absolutely no way that major league clubs are going to be willing to give out the type of contracts they have in the past based on the lack of money they made this year and the uncertainty of the economic future on multiple levels. I mean, it just, and especially who knows when that time is happening. I mean, if we are dealing with worse issues, if there are flare-ups, second waves, who knows? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. That could impact it too. The idea that maybe there won't be fans in the stands into 2021 or whatever, we don't know. I think the free agents are going to get the brunt of it. I think, again, I don't think the owners will technically collude. I don't think they talk to each other and all that, but I think there'll be an understanding among them that, hey, we're not going nuts here. You know, maybe one guy, maybe Mookie Betts, some team wants him enough to give him something close to what he would have gotten before. I still don't think that's going to happen. I think he could lose, you know, upwards of $100 million of what he would have gotten, from like $350 to $250 or less. Who knows? That type of drop. And I think Realmuto is going to be affected by that too. I think that if the Phillies did decide to let Realmuto play out the season and let him test the free agent market, I think that he's going to run into that issue where he's going to find out that there is no team in Major League Baseball who's going to come close to what he wants. That's just it. There's no one paying that type of money for a catcher this offseason. Certainly not for 6 years. I mean, that's crazy town. Even the Grandal deal, which was the biggest, was for a 4-year deal. There is no way at that position, especially when the deal would start in his age 30 season, that anyone is giving him a 6-year deal. And look, I've said before too that I think Realmuto is actually one of the few catchers who I think really will age gracefully. He's someone who didn't play the position when he was younger. He was a shortstop till, you know, till professional baseball almost and all that type of stuff. Hadn't played a ton of catcher, and then so he doesn't have the same wear and tear on the knees and all that. But at the same time, for someone who, you know, you can't plan on catchers aging gracefully defensively into their mid to late 30s. Yadier Molina is the exception to the rule. It's very rare that you see guys stay that high a level for that long. And the issue with Realmuto is that so much of his value as a baseball player is tied up in him being the best defensive catcher in the league. Because the best defensive catcher in the league is an incredibly valuable asset. It is by far, in my opinion, the most important defensive position when you take everything into account, the handling of a staff, the managing of a game, all that type of stuff. And I think Realmuto is superb at it. I think he's the best in baseball at all that stuff. And obviously the arm, the defense, like all around the best in baseball. And then when you add in the fact that he's a damn good hitting catcher, you know, a better hitter than most catchers, the vast majority, that turns into an incredibly valuable baseball player, truly. You know, like one of the 30 or 40 most valuable baseball players in the league, in my opinion. Like, he deserves money. He deserves a contract. It's just there are factors related to the economic situation, the fluidity of it all, and also the fact that he is a unique position in terms of paying people long-term, where you do have to gauge these type of things. How long can he last? I know the DH coming to the National League helps, you know, assuming that we're going to go universal DH into the future, the next collective bargaining agreement. We all think that's a likelihood, but you're not knowing for sure. It helps, but at the same time, Realmuto as a DH isn't just, the value is in his ability to play that position so incredibly well, and that is something that with age, you know, generally speaking, the skills degrade. So I think that in the situation they're in, I actually think that it's the right decision to not sign him to this big deal now. And if you want him the most, I think you'll be able to get him cheaper on the open market, just factually, than you can probably get him now, which is crazy. And again, you never know if Realmuto's agent decides to read the market and say, hey, it could be worse out there. You know, even taking 16, 17, 18 million a year, even though it's not what we wanted, is smarter than going out in the market and ending up with a 1-year deal, which for a catcher is particularly an issue, obviously, as we just talked about. You want to maximize when you can. I think it's highly unlikely that the Phillies sign him now, and I'm okay with that. And one more thing, and then we'll get to Klentak's quotes, but one thing that I've heard a lot around that I just wholeheartedly disagree with to my core is the concept. And again, I understand. I think the Phillies, Realmuto is more important to the Phillies than anyone else on multiple levels. One is that, you know, obviously he's already here. He's a big part of this team. Him and Bryce Harper are best buddies, and he's an important member of the team. And they did trade Sixto Sanchez for him, so that is like something you think about. But I keep hearing people say, well, they traded Sixto for him, so they have to sign him at all costs. You can't give up Sixto and then not end up signing JT. And look, here's the thing. I agree in conceptually speaking that when they traded Sixto Sanchez for JT Realmuto, it's a bad trade if they can't get Realmuto here long term. Like, it's not a smart trade. You shouldn't give up that level of prospect for someone who's only going to be here for 2 years. You shouldn't. It's a bad decision. If you sign him long term, great. So I thought from that perspective, they quote unquote needed to sign him long term. But the idea that because you traded Sixto Sanchez for him, the Phillies have to sign him at all costs is a fallacy. Literally, it is the sunk cost fallacy. Just because you have sunk the cost of Sixto Sanchez doesn't mean you make a decision based on that. You make a decision based on Realmuto, his future, what he's worth, and all that. But the cost of Sixto Sanchez being traded is over. It's in the past. It's gone. You can't try and justify it by signing a bad contract. That only makes things worse. It is literally the definition of the sunk cost fallacy. That cost is sunk. I agree that when they made that trade, I thought it was important to sign him to a long-term deal, and I still think it's important to sign him to a long-term deal because it's important to the Phillies, but not because they made the trade, not because they gave up that asset. That can't factor into your thinking. It can't. It's a fallacy. You have to judge Realmuto based strictly on him, the future, and the team, and Sixto can't be a part of it. Emotionally, it will be for us. We get that, but it can't be. It is a fallacy. It's the wrong way to do business. All right, to the quotes. As we'll get into a lot of stuff Clint Dax said. First, on the JT Realmuto stuff, talking. And again, we had heard that Salisbury report. We're worried a little bit that maybe they're going to be a little over the top trying to sign Realmuto. You know, maybe it's something that, you know, you worry, are they going to make a mistake here? But Clint Dax comments definitely made me feel a little bit better about how they're handling the situation. Again, you know, it's not like I have all the trust in the world in Clint Dax, but in this case, I do appreciate what he said. So here's what he said talking about the Realmuto extension. He said, quote unquote, probably too soon to tell. The landscape that we left in March is different than the one we return to now. We just have to see how that manifests itself in our discussions. We still love the player. We'd still love to have him in red pinstripes for the long haul. But there's a lot of uncertainty in the game right now on a variety of levels. We just need to play that out. Yes, that is exactly correct. Again, it's not what people might want to hear if they want him long term. They just want a deal done. Get it done. This is smart. It is an incredibly unique financial landscape that they are in the midst of. Acting hastily, acting based on the past, what money is in the past, is a gigantic mistake. And I'm happy to hear that they are putting it out there that way. Because just coming in and giving him a big contract now without seeing how this all plays out, I think would be a massive mistake. That's why I go back to the point that I think it's the smart move to play this out and to let him understand that that market has collapsed. And look, it sucks for Realmuto. I feel horrible for him. I feel bad for any of these guys who are free agents this year. Horrible timing. But it is the situation it is, and the Phillies have to be smart about it. More from Klentak on it, talking about how he has not touched base with Realmuto's representatives since the moratorium was lifted because of the hectic ramp-up of spring training, too. He said, candidly, we've been kind of nose to the ground, intake screenings and getting people here, so I haven't touched base with them. As far as a timeline, I don't know. I just need to talk to them. And he reiterated that they do like Realmuto. They want him here, but that the landscape has changed. And you know what? I really do appreciate that. I think that they are handling this the right way, even if it might not be the way that a lot of people thought it was going to end up shaking out. I think they're doing it the right way. I really do. And you know, we'll see. Again, I could say all this, and then tomorrow they give him $23 million a year for 5 years, and I'm like, well, whoops. So we'll see. But I think right now, especially for a team that has shown that they are a little unwilling to go over the luxury tax at times and all that, they have to be smart about the contracts they do give out. They don't really. They could afford it. I think they should go over the luxury tax. You know how I feel. But based on how they've acted, I don't want them to overpay for Realmuto as much as I want him here. All right, some other things that Klentak talked about. A general overview, just talking about getting back. He said, news last week kicked off a sprint for a lot of people to get ready for spring training 2.0. We've identified the staff participating. Everyone is in now and have gone through the screenings over the weekend. The majority of players arrived yesterday and today. He also discussed how coronavirus affected the team, what it means moving forward. He said, none of the cases, players or staff have been especially serious, which is great news, obviously. He says, I mean, some of our people have had flu-like symptoms and fevers. They've lasted anywhere between a few hours and 24 hours, but no one has been hospitalized. Great news. He says, there's not been any grave concern. It was eye-opening to a lot of us how quickly it spread. That's important. Maybe that is something where it helps them place protocols for spring training, too, for what's going on here. Maybe you hope that it's the type of thing where they learned from what happened in Clearwater and can say, all right, let's be a little more careful with this, or maybe we shouldn't put guys doing this, or whatever. You know, I hope that that is something, and from the way you're talking, it does seem like that it shocked them how quick it spread, and that's something that they can potentially use as a way to maybe be a little bit more diligent about certain things, or to put in practices that they might not have thought of, or whatever. But good to hear there are not any serious cases. Everyone seems to be recovering all right. That is obviously the most important news, as this is going to be a reality of baseball. You know, obviously we're seeing it with teams across the country. You know, a lot of people testing positive, all kinds of issues, and that'll continue. So it's going to be something obviously to watch. Klintak also says there have been a lot of people working around the clock to prepare for this, preparing the staff to travel in, players to travel in, and really get Citizens Bank Park and the neighboring fields and FDR Park ready for MLB, which is crazy. I think they're going to be in the FDR Park and all that, but it is what should happen. It's good that, you know, the extra space, the social distancing. Talking about the 53-man roster that was released, he said those players are going through their intake screenings as well, and they include tests for COVID, antibody tests, and a variety of other things before they're allowed to take the field. Obviously, great to hear that these safety practices are in place, that they're monitoring everyone. That is important stuff. Talked about Andrew McCutchen being one of those players who was showing up. And some good news from Matt Klintak said on McCutchen, quote unquote, McCutchen, as far as we can tell, is 100% ready to go. He completed his rehab in Clearwater. He spent most of a few months in Clearwater continuing to rehab, said Klintak. Great news there. It is going to be so exciting to see Andrew McCutchen back on the field. My favorite player on the team. I said that last year. He's just a joy to watch. He's so fun. He goes about his business in such a positive, happy way. And also is a great player who made such a difference for the team. I thought before getting hurt last year, the most underrated, important part of the team, the way he set the table, started off the lineup, you know, kind of got things rolling, and obviously a perfectly steady left field, a great base runner. That was the thing you realized when McCutchen finally came over. And, you know, look, former MVP, great guy, all that type of stuff. But when you watched him every day, you got the chance to watch him play every game, you realized how seriously he takes the game of baseball and how good he is at every facet. Like, he is such a smart base runner, such a talented, clever base runner. Even the form around the bases, like the angles. I mean, as a fielder, the angles, like, everything is so perfect, so diligent, so impressive. I can't wait for McCutchen to get back. I'm so happy he's healthy and seems ready to go. That is really amazing news. Klintak talking about, even though the season will look different, how happy he is there will be a season. He said, a lot of us were faced with the thought of what it would be like to go an entire summer without baseball. I don't know about you, but that wasn't a very appealing thought to me, and I imagine it wasn't for any of you or any of our fans. Preach. Matt, we talked a lot about it. No, it was not. Talking about the DH, I thought this was interesting. He said, and you know, we kind of come in, we'll be a set DH. Is there going to be someone who's getting those reps more often than not? Here's what Klintak had to say. He said, I think more likely we will use that as an opportunity to spread out at bats to guys who deserve them, but may not have a place to play in the field. We'll use it as an opportunity to get some of our regulars some days off, but keep their bats in the lineup, whether that's Harper, Romuto, Hoskins. I think Jay Bruce is an excellent candidate for that spot. We're probably going to rotate guys in and out. I think that makes the most sense. Play the matchups, you know, Bruce against lefties, you know, whoever, Bohm at some point, hopefully Forsyth, whether they want to, you know, play Josh Harrison in right field and you know, bring Harper in or Forsyth in left and let McCutchen DH or whatever, that type of stuff. I think we'll see that. And I think that's smart. I think the smartest way, look, the DH is a tool that they have in this Phillies team, better than most National League teams, at least. Like, look, we know what the issues are. It's pitching. It's the bullpen. They're pretty deep on the bench with bats, capable bats. Jay Bruce, a perfect example, but also Bohm, if given the shot, is a above average, capable MLB bat. And again, the guys we talked about yesterday at the bottom of the roster on the 53-man, the guys like Josh Harrison and Logan Forsythe, who I just mentioned, Neil Walker, like these are major league hitters. Not great, but in the right situations against the right pitchers, these are guys who can play Major League Baseball and have for a long time and can bring something. So I do think that they are well set up, especially the Bohm thing. The Bohm is the X factor for the DH, for the way the lineup looks, all that type of stuff. That's huge. But outside of Bohm, I think that Jay Bruce is a big one. I think just having bats that you can trust in the lineup, I think that's exciting. And also the versatility they have between guys like Harrison and Forsythe and Walker and guys who can move around the field, play infield, outfield, different spots, it will really allow them to do that type of thing with the DH and move guys in and out, which I do think is an advantage if you have the DH and can use it that way. I do think, especially for a team that doesn't just sign a DH, obviously, I think it's a real advantage if you have multiple guys there and you're not just trying to force one guy into that spot, or you know, you have an okay hitter you're trying to get out there every day, but you don't have anyone better you can kind of mix in and out. I think it's an advantage. Talking about Odubel Herrera, he said he considered him for the 60-man roster. I think that that's what he has to say, obviously. You know, they can't – that's why he's still on the roster. There's collective bargaining and all that. They can't just get rid of him for what happened, but it does seem like they're trying to bury him. They're trying to keep him away. It'll be interesting to see if at any point he's added to the 60-man roster, if things go haywire, but it does seem like the Phillies are trying to keep away from Odubel Herrera, and I think we can all get behind that. A few more things from Klentak. He did say that Zach Wheeler will take time off to be present at the birth of his first child. We knew that was going to happen. Wheeler's talked openly about that. I don't think anyone has a real problem with that. He said he does not expect it to be an extended absence. This is an important one. Talking about Spencer Howard, he says the Phillies will not want to push him too hard, quote unquote, but he does believe that both Bohm and Howard will contribute to the major league roster this year. Well, they better. I mean, again, those are two guys who can really take this team from a certain level to another higher level. They don't have a ton of guys like that who can really swing the fortunes of the season. Howard and Bohm, added to what they have, are those guys, particularly Howard, as we talked about, with the pitching deficiencies they have. That's a big deal, and it's something to keep an eye on how they use those guys. Again, I think it's 7 games for the year of service time to count, so you definitely wouldn't see them before those 7, but I don't know that for sure. Either way, I'm sure the Phillies will do what they do and manage the service time to make sure that they are not giving up a year. But at the same time, I do think, look, it's important that those guys are involved, because those are players who can help this team. In a short season where every game matters, those players can help. Every game matters so much. It's crucial. So I'm really intrigued to see how they bring them along and what their strategy is with them. We hope it's more rather than less. I wouldn't expect more from Klentak than not want to push him too hard, but that they'll both contribute. But, you know, you don't want them to push him too hard either, but you also want them to be willing to push him a little bit if it makes sense for the club. Lastly, Klentak said that he does not expect any Phillies to opt out of the 2020 season. We're obviously seeing that around Major League Baseball. Ryan Zimmerman, Ian Desmond with a unbelievably powerful statement about why he is opting out and talking about a lot of issues in Major League Baseball that need to be addressed with the lack of representation. You know, when you look at the Major League Baseball and owners, general managers, within the infrastructure of Major League Baseball itself, under Manfred and all that, there's not enough representation of minority people. It's just not. It's not even close. I think there's one African-American general manager. I think there's 2 African-American general managers. There's no owners. This is just something that are majority owners. It's something that has to change. And Ian Desmond, check it out on his Twitter. A really powerful statement there. But you're seeing a lot of players say, all right, you know, I'm going to take the year off. For whatever reason. I know Ryan Zimmerman, I believe his mother has multiple sclerosis and he's around her and he doesn't want to mess with that. And that's the type of stuff where it's like, yeah, of course, take the year. This is not worth that type of risk or that type of uncomfortable situation for you where you can't see your mom or wouldn't want to see your mom or whatever. I mean, get it. It's all good. And I will not resent any player, even if they're a Philly, even if they're important, I will not resent them for deciding not to do this. This is a risk and I appreciate the players who do it, but I will not criticize the players who don't. This is fun. It's getting real. It's getting exciting. Klentak out speaking. We'll obviously continue to follow any news and whatnot, but also, you know, we'll continue this week to dive into the lineup. We've talked a lot about players. How do they fit in? What's it going to look like? Again, the Howard Boehm thing, there's way more to that to unpack. Rhys Hoskins, mentioned him again today for a minute, but and that's something we have to dive into. There's so much to talk about. It's really exciting that we're actually talking legitimate, relevant Phillies issues and not labor negotiations. I'll say that 100 times more, but it's just because it's really exciting to talk about this stuff. So thank you for joining me on it. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.